الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. So to continue with the second lesson of ours in Masjid al-Farisi in the land of Kuwait on the Idha'at al-Nahj al-Wadih or the Nahj al-Wadih broadcast radio. This is the second lesson of the lessons which we are holding regarding the tremendous book of the great Imam, the Reviver, Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, rahimahullah. And before we are getting into that book, we are giving introduction to a few various topics. So last week we discussed the importance of having the correct aqidah, the importance of having the correct Islamic belief. And we discussed many proofs for that and many examples from the Quran and Sunnah which necessitate the importance of submission to the texts of the Quran and Sunnah as they have come, and that we do not go against them with our own intellects. Rather, upon us is to submit to the texts of the Quran and Sunnah how the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam brought them, and how the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam understood them, and that we remain far away from any innovations in the religion which are not from it. And in this second sitting of ours, we would like to make a mudhakira, or a remembrance and reminder, of the status of the people of knowledge in Islam, or دور الأهل العلم, or ما وظيفة الأهل العلم في الدين, what is the job of the people of knowledge in regards to the religion. For indeed this book that we will be studying is authored by one of the great imams, one of those great people of knowledge. And we want to understand what is that role of the people of knowledge, so we may be upon clear insight in studying both this and other books, and how we may truly benefit from the people of knowledge and from our scholars in the best possible way. And this is an important topic, because many of the Muslims don't realize the true role of the ulama, the role of the people of knowledge, and what is their job and status and position. So the general people from amongst the Muslims, and those people that ascribe to Salafiyya and the Sunnah, even them too, many of them don't truly understand the role of the scholars. So many of them, alhamdulillah, they submit to the verse of Allah, فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. So ask the people of knowledge if you do not know. So alhamdulillah, we find the Muslims and the Salafis, they return to the people of knowledge in seeking clarification in that which they do not understand. But we want to look into this matter deeper and understand the depth of responsibility that the people of knowledge have. So we'll begin by reading the authentic hadith, the hadith of Abu الدرداء رضي الله عنه. قال سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول من سلك طريقا يبتغي فيه علما سلك الله به طريقا إلى الجنة وإن الملائكة لتضع أجنحتها رضا لطالب العلم وإن العالم ليستغفر له من في السماوات ومن في الأرض حتى الحيتان في الماء وفضل العالم على العابد كفضل القمر على سائر الكواكب إن العلماء ورثة الأنبياء إن الأنبياء لم يورثوا دينارا ولا درهما إنما ورثوا العلم فمن أخذه أخذ بحظ وافر. So on the authority of Abu Darda رضي الله عنه, as narrated from the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, in which he said, whoever proceeds upon a path in which he seeks by it knowledge, then Allah will place him upon a path to Jannah. And indeed the angels, they spread out their wings out of being pleased for the student of knowledge. And indeed, the scholar or the alim, then everyone in the heavens or the skies and in the earth seek forgiveness for him, even the fish in the sea. And the virtue of the alim, the virtue of the scholar, over the worshipper is like the virtue of the moon over the rest of the stars. Indeed, the ulama, indeed the scholars, are the inheritors of the prophets. Indeed, the prophets, they did not leave behind as an inheritance any dinar or any dirham, which is well known, both types of currency. Meaning the Anbiya, they did not leave behind any wealth, not dinars nor dirhams. Indeed, they only left behind knowledge. So whoever takes this has indeed taken a plentiful or bountiful share. And that is the end of the meaning of this hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we'll discuss a few of those specific parts of this hadith which pertain to our topic, as explained by the great Sheikh, the Imam Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, in his book Miftah Dar al-Sa'ida. This book Miftah Dar al-Sa'ida, this is one of the great books of Imam Ibn al-Qayyim, and the meaning of this book is key to the home of happiness. Key to the home of happiness. Miftah Dar al-Sa'ida by Imam Ibn al-Qayyim. So, after the Prophet ﷺ mentioned these virtues, mentions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will place or allow the student of knowledge or the person that seeks knowledge, that Allah will place him on a path to Jannah. After mentioning this, and after discussing that the angels will spread out their wings out of being pleased for the student of knowledge, then the Prophet ﷺ said that indeed the scholar, or indeed for the scholar, then forgiveness is sought for him from everyone in the skies, in the samawat, and in the earth, even the fish in the sea. So Imam Ibn al-Qayyim, he mentioned that this is due to the scholar being a cause for the spreading of knowledge. And the spreading of knowledge, then in this knowledge, it is safety for the souls from all of those types of things which may destroy it. This knowledge is safety for the souls from many things which would destroy it. And his efforts are restricted to this, meaning the scholar's efforts are restricted to spreading his knowledge and saving the rest of creation from these things which may destroy them. So the safety of the ibad, the safety of the slaves, is in the hands of the scholars. The safety of the slaves is in the hands of the scholars. And they, meaning the scholars, they are rewarded in accordance with this action, They're rewarded in accordance with this action that they do. So Allah has made everyone in the heavens and the earth striving for the safety of the scholars. So due to the scholars spreading their knowledge, which is a safety and protection for the creation from those things which would destroy them, then likewise the creation are made to seek forgiveness for the scholar, so that he may be saved and he may be safe from any causes for his own destruction. Likewise, how the Prophet ﷺ mentioned, and the virtue of the alim, the virtue of the scholar over the worshipper, is like the virtue of the moon over the rest of the stars. So Imam Ibn al-Qayyim, he explained that this resemblance that the Prophet ﷺ, then this is a resemblance which is in accordance with the true nature or the reality of the moon and the stars. For indeed the moon, then it lights up the whole horizon, and its light spreads to the earth. The light of the moon spreads to the earth. And likewise, this is the state or the condition of the scholar, that the light of his knowledge spreads all around him. The light of his knowledge spreads all around him, and he illuminates those around him. As for the stars, then their light does not really go beyond themselves. Their light does not really go beyond themselves or what is right there close to them. So this is like the condition of a worshipper, that he has a light, that light of his worship, but it doesn't proceed past his self. It doesn't illuminate the rest of creation. And if it goes past him, meaning if he has a good effect on others around him, then it does not go very far. So this is like the state or the virtue of the person of knowledge, that his light or his effect of goodness is far and widespread. And in the statement of the Prophet ﷺ in this hadith, إِنَّ الْعُلَمَاءَ وَرَثَةُ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ, indeed the scholars are the inheritors of the prophets. Then Imam Ibn al-Qayyim, he says, هَذَا مِنْ أَعْظَمِ الْمَنَاقِبِ لِأَهْلِ الْعِلْمِ, and this is the most tremendous of virtues of the people of knowledge. For indeed the prophets, they are the best of Allah's creation. Indeed, the prophets are the best of Allah's creation. And their inheritors are the best of the creation after the prophets. So just as the inheritance of one transfers and goes on to those who inherit from them, then likewise, those who are after the messengers, who inherit this correct knowledge after the messengers, and are established in that same status of spreading this knowledge that the prophets were sent with, then indeed the scholars are the first and foremost people deserving of this description. Indeed, the scholars are the first and foremost in deserving this description, meaning of being called the Warathatul Anbiya, or the inheritors of the prophets. And likewise, the Imam Ibn al-Qayyim, he continued, and in this is a tanbih, or it's something that should draw our attention, that upon the scholars is to transgress or go, or traverse, to go upon the guidance of the prophets and their paths in spreading this knowledge and in conveying this knowledge. And this is from having patience and having ihtimal, meaning putting up with difficulties and facing the hardships of the people with goodness and being gentle with them and calling to Allah and glorifying Allah upon the best possible ways. And they strive with whatever they're able to with advice for them. And indeed with this is how they are determined their share of being an inheritor of this great inheritance. This great inheritance of the prophets. And how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ended that hadith, فَمَنْ أَخَذَهُ أَخَذَ بِحَظٍ وَافِرٍ. So whoever takes it, meaning takes this inheritance, this knowledge of the revelation, then he has indeed attained a bountiful share. So Imam Ibn al-Qayyim mentioned that this is the most greatest of shares. This is the most greatest of shares for the slave due to the long-lasting benefit that comes about. And nothing is of a great a share and long-lasting benefit as al-ilm wa-deen, as this knowledge and this religion. As this knowledge and this religion. So, in this hadith, as we have mentioned, that the ulama, they are the inheritors of the prophets. And we have mentioned, as has come in the hadith, some of those descriptions and virtues that the Prophet ﷺ described the scholars with, and their virtue over the ibad, over the regular worshippers. Over the regular worshippers. Likewise, we'll mention another hadith in which the Prophet ﷺ described the people of knowledge. And this has come from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam from many different paths. That he said sallallahu alaihi wasallam, يَحْمِلُ هَذَا الْعِلْمِ مِنْ كُلِّ خَلَفٍ عُدُولُهُ يَنْفُونَ عَنْهُ تَحْرِيفُ الْغَالِينَ وَانْتِحَالِ الْمُبْطِلِينَ وَتَأْوِيلِ الْجَاهِلِينَ. So he said sallallahu alaihi wasallam that this knowledge is carried through every generation by its udul, by its upright and trustworthy ones. They protect it and preserve it from the distortion of the extremists and the splitting of those who seek to cause corruption and the misinterpretation of the ignorant. In this hadith, this is declared sahih by Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, rahimahullah, and Sheikh Muhammad Nasiruddin al-Albani said that it is hasan. So, in this is a tremendous description of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for those true carriers of this knowledge, that they are udul, that they are upright and trusted in their religion. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam described what they are protecting the religion from. The Prophet ﷺ described what they are protecting the religion from. They protect and preserve it from the distortion of the extremists, the splitting of those who seek to cause corruption, and the misinterpretation of the ignorant. And if we look at the details of this, and these descriptions, then we find that this is what has happened, these three things is what has happened to the umam of the past. This distortion and this splitting and misinterpretation, then indeed this was the cause of the deviance and the distortion of the religions of the past. So indeed it is the job and the characteristic of the people of knowledge that they protect and preserve the religion of Islam from these three characteristics, from these three things from happening. And likewise, we find that all three of these attributes that the Prophet ﷺ said, that the scholars, that the Udul protect the religion from, then these are all likewise characteristics of Ahl Bidah, the people of innovations and desires, Ahl Bidah wal Ahwa, then these are all characteristics from them. For indeed, they are extremists who distort. And indeed, they are those who seek to cause corruption, and they cause splitting. And likewise, they are ignorant, and they misinterpret the revelation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon their own desires. So, this hadith is a beautiful description of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for these udul, for these just upright ones in their religion. And Imam Ibn al-Qayyim, he points out that this being udul, this being upright and just, then this means that they are trustworthy in conveying the religion. They are trustworthy in conveying the religion, and it is not this does not necessitate that they do not have any mistake or do not have any type of error, but rather they are trustworthy in conveying the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, we have the tremendous hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in which he said, لا تزال طائفة من أمتي ظاهرين على الحق لا يضرهم من خذلهم ولا من خالفهم حتى يأتي أمر الله وهم كذلك. This is an authentic hadith, as is narrated in both Bukhari and Muslim, in which the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that there will not cease to be a group from my ummah clearly apparent upon the truth. Zahirin, they're clearly apparent upon the truth. They will not be harmed by those who do not aid them, nor those who oppose them, up until the order of Allah is established and they are like that. Up until the order of Allah is established and they are like that. So likewise, we have in this a description of the Ta'ifat al-Mansura, that the aided group, and this aided group, as Imam al-Bukhari said, hum ahlul ilm, that they are the people of knowledge. And likewise, Ahmad ibn Hanbal, the great Imam, he said, if they are not ahl hadith, then I do not know who they are. If they are not ahl hadith, meaning the people of hadith, then I do not know who they are. And in the great explainer of a hadith, al-Qadi Iyad, he said that indeed what Imam Ahmad meant is Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. That Imam Ahmad meant Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. And whoever has the correct aqidah, the correct belief and creed of the way of the people of hadith. Whoever has the correct creed and belief of the people of hadith. So indeed in this hadith we have this description of the saved group, the aided group, that they are zahirin upon the truth, and that they are not harmed by those who do not aid them, nor who those who openly oppose them. Likewise, we have the tremendous hadith from Sahih Muslim, in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam described a beautiful description of the prophets. He described a beautiful description of the prophets. And as has come in the hadith, we already mentioned that the ulama, the scholars, are the inheritors of the prophets. And it is upon the ulama to exemplify and to act upon these same characteristics that the prophets and messengers came with. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ma min nabi illa wa kana haqqan alayhi an yadulla ummatahu ala khayri ma ya'lamuhu lahum wa an yundirahum min sharri ma ya'lamuhu lahum." That he said there was not a prophet except that it was obligatory upon him. Kana haqqan alayhi. It was obligatory upon the Prophet to guide his ummah to every good that he knows for them. To guide his ummah to every good that he knows for them, and to warn them from every evil that he knows for them. That he guides his ummah to every good that he knows for them, and that he warns them from every evil that he knows for them. So indeed, this is a tremendous description from Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam for all of the prophets, that this was their characteristic, that they were clear and specific in clarifying truth from falsehood. Clarifying truth from falsehood. And this is from those attributes of the prophets, that their da'wah was that da'wah of Furqan. For indeed the Qur'an, then from the names of the Qur'an, is Al-Furqan. That which splits and differentiates and separates. And this is the way of the prophets and messengers. So it is upon the people of knowledge, the true inheritors of the prophets, that their da'wah, that their call is likewise a da'wah, a call of Furqan, that they clearly separate and differentiate truth from falsehood. And they differentiate the true statements from the false statements. And they separate the correct statements from the diseased statements. They separate sunnah from bid'ah and clarify to the people that which is beneficial to them and warn them from anything which may harm them. So this is from those characteristics of the true inheritors of the prophets. Likewise, the beautiful ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in which he ordered the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, goes along with this meaning and reminds us of this meaning, the statement of Allah, "Qul hadhihi sabili ad'u ila Allah 'ala basira ana wa man ittaba'ani." That he said, subhanahu wa ta'ala, "Qul," meaning say, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "This is my path. I call to Allah 'ala basira." I call to Allah upon basira. "Ana wa man ittaba'ani," me and who follows me. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was ordered to say, "This is my path. I call to Allah upon basira, me and those who follow me." So what is this basira? What is this basira that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was ordered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to call to? And this description of his da'wah, that he calls to Allah upon this basira. Then indeed, the great scholar of tafsir, Imam al-Baghawi, rahimahullah, that he explained that this basira, this is that knowledge which is used to differentiate between truth and falsehood. This knowledge which is used to differentiate between truth and falsehood. This is that basira that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came with. This is that basira, this knowledge which is used to differentiate truth from falsehood. Again, to differentiate between shirk and tawheed and bid'ah from sunnah and every good from every evil. And from the texts of the Quran and Sunnah, we have other examples of the beautiful traits of the prophets and messengers in which the people of knowledge are required to inherit, which the people of knowledge are required to inherit to be entitled to this great description of being inheritors of the prophets. So we have, for example, the great sabr, the patience of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, first and foremost, and likewise from the other prophets and messengers, we have the story of Nuh alayhi salam, which Allah has informed us, how Nuh alayhi salam, he would say, Inni da'utu qawmi laylan wa nahara, falim yazidhum du'ai illa firara. That he said, alayhi salam, that indeed I have called my people night and day, and my call has not increased them except in running away. My call has not increased them except in running away. So look at how this great prophet of Allah, from the ulul azm, from those firmly willed messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which Allah mentioned specifically, that he called upon his people night and day. And what we know from the authentic ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that his dawah, that Nuh alayhi salam was calling his people for 950 years. 950 years, and Nuh described his dawah that he said, I've called my people night and day. So what type of patience is this? This is a tremendous amount of patience. This is a great patience exemplified from our prophets who have come before. So likewise, we find from those ulama that are inheritors of the prophets that their patience is strong and their resolve is strong. And they know what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has willed for them, then they know this is what is best for them. But they are persistent and thabit. They are steadfast upon their way, and they do not change. They do not flip around their stances. Rather, they are patient and steadfast upon their way from what they know of the truth. Likewise, the prophets were umana, they were trustworthy. They were trustworthy, and they were the farthest away from any type of ghish. They were the farthest away from any type of cheating. Walaykum salam wa rahmatullah. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there's the great hadith in which he was walking in the marketplace and he came across a man selling some fruit. And when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stuck his hand, his noble hand, into the container of this produce, that he found that there was some defects with that which is underneath. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked what had happened, and the man said, O Messenger of Allah, then they have been affected by the rain. They've been affected by the rain, and that's why some of them had gone bad, or some of them were not in the correct or the freshest condition. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if only you had made those on top, so that they would be seen to the people. So he said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, من غشنا فليس منا. Whoever cheats us is not from us. Whoever cheats us is not from us. So if we see, this is the clarity that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave regarding a business transaction, then what about regards to knowledge? If this is the clarity and detail the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came with in regards to this business transaction, that whoever cheats us, then he is not from us, then what about one who cheats regarding to the religion? What about one who claims to have knowledge, but he cheats the people? What about one who claims to have knowledge, but he cheats the people? So somebody that does not clearly distinguish truth from falsehood, someone that does not teach their students to have furqan, and separate and understand in detail the differences between tawheed and shirk and bid'ah and sunnah and all different matters of good from all different matters of evil. So this was from the dawah of the prophets, as we had mentioned previously, that their dawah was based on clearly distinguishing between truth and falsehood. And they did not mix truth with falsehood. Indeed, this was the characteristics of the people of the book that came before us. From the characteristics of the people of the book who came before us, as Allah said, وَلَا تَلْبِسُ الْحَقَّ بِالْبَاطِلِ وَتَخْتُمُ الْحَقِّ. Do not hide the truth with falsehood, and hide the truth. The Sahaba had explained that this is, do not mix truth with falsehood and hide the truth. Do not mix truth with falsehood and don't hide the truth. So indeed, this is from the characteristics of the Ahl Kitab, and it is not from the characteristics of those who ascribe to being from the inheritors of the prophets. So we have mentioned many or a few of those virtues, and indeed the virtues of the scholars are many, and the virtues of the prophets are many, and that which the people of knowledge should inherit from those noble characteristics of the prophets and messengers are many. But we have mentioned some of these, and we hope that it has come to the conclusion that we understand that the role of the people of knowledge, the role of the scholars of Islam, is that they clarify the correct meanings of the wahi. They clarify the correct meanings of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down. So indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He took responsibility for preserving the texts of Islam. As he said, subhanahu wa ta'ala, inna nahnu nazzalna dhikra wa inna lahu lahafidhun, that he said, indeed, we have sent down the dhikr, the remembrance, and for it we are preservers. For it we are preservers. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken responsibility for in himself to preserve the texts of the Quran and Sunnah, the texts of the wahi, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the responsibility of the scholars to preserve the correct meanings and the correct understandings of the Quran and Sunnah, how the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came with it, and how the Sahaba understood it, radiyallahu anhum. And while we are mentioning the ulama, the people of knowledge, then it doesn't provide a sufficient amount of clarity, and it doesn't provide a sufficient amount of detail and guidance to the creation to only mention the scholars generally. Because how will the people know who to return back to? How will the people know who to return back to? So, as our Sheikh Ahmed Subayi, he mentions that in order to provide guidance to the creation, then we must name them and guide the people to them. So from the first and foremost who have died in recent years, of course, we have the great Sheikh, the Imam Abdulaziz ibn Baz, rahimahullah, Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, and Sheikh Muhammad Nasiruddin al-Albani, rahimahullah. These are from those foremost scholars that have died in those recent years. Likewise, from those living, we have the great Imam Sheikh Rabi' ibn Hadi al-Madkhali, hafidhahullah, the one who has been recommended by all three of those great imams who have preceded their mention. So we find that these three great imams, Sheikh ibn Ibaz, Sheikh al-Albani, and Sheikh ibn Uthaymeen, rahimahumullah, then all of them have agreed upon recommending Sheikh Rabi' ibn Hadi al-Madkhali from the angle of sunnah, from the angle of being strong upon the sunnah. So indeed, this is a great virtue for the Sheikh and a great encouragement for us to continue to benefit from him while he is alive. Likewise, we have Sheikh Saleh Fawzan, hafidhullah, and other than them, such as Sheikh Ubaid al-Jabari, hafidhullah, and the list could go on, but from those noble scholars who are upon their way. So whoever, these are merely examples, and we should continue to strive and benefit from those people of knowledge who are upon this correct way of having furqan in their dawah, clearly differentiating between truth and falsehood. And in mentioning the scholars, both in our times and in the previous times, then we must remember that while they are warathatul anbiya, while they are inheritors of the prophets, then they do not share the same isma as the prophets. Meaning, the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they were ma'asum, meaning they were free of any mistakes in the revelation. They are free of mistakes regarding the revelation, meaning what they conveyed from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it was true and accurate as Allah revealed. And it was not that the prophets and messengers died except that they had completed what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed for what, for them to convey. And they were trustworthy in that. As for the people of knowledge, then indeed they are human beings. Indeed they are human beings. And just like the rest of mankind, then they are dealt with and their statements are dealt with like how Imam Malik, rahimahullah, had said. How Imam Malik had said, rahimahullah, that كُلٌّ يُؤْخَذْ مِنْ قَوْلِهِ وَيُرَدْ إِلَّا صَاحِبْ هَذَا الْقَبْرِ. He said, rahimahullah, that everyone's statement is either taken or rejected except the person of this grave. And he pointed to the grave of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as Imam Malik was known to be in Medina. Imam Malik was from Medina. So he said, everyone's statement is either taken or rejected except the person of this grave. So this is the status of the statements of the people of knowledge, that which is correct in accordance with the text of the Quran and Sunnah and that which the companions had agreed upon and the Salaf of the Ummah, the righteous predecessors, then it is accepted from them and it is benefited from them. And if they come with something or bring some statement which is in opposition to the Quran and Sunnah and what the companions of the Prophet ﷺ were agreed upon, and what the Salaf of the Ummah, the righteous predecessors, had continued to proceed upon, then this is rejected. And we know and recognize that likewise the alim, the person of Sunnah, that he is between ajr wa ajrain. That if someone strives to achieve the truth and they are correct, then as the Prophet ﷺ said, then for them is two rewards. For them is two rewards. If someone makes ijtihad, they strive to reach the truth, and they do actually reach it, then for them is two rewards. And if they strive to achieve the truth by the correct means, by the way of the Quran and Sunnah, and what they think the companions of the Prophet ﷺ had agreed upon in the Salaf, and if they are wrong in that and mistaken in that, then for them is still one reward. For them is still one reward. So it is upon us to continue to return back to the people of knowledge and benefit from the people of knowledge, for indeed they have these great descriptions. As Imam Ibn Qayyim, rahimahullah, he had said, that Allah, the Most Glorified, that He made the ulama as trustworthy ones, and those responsible for His religion and His revelation. And He has been pleased with them for them to preserve it, and to establish it, and to defend it. And indeed, this is a great, noble status of tremendous virtue. So this is how Imam Ibn al-Qayyim described the ulama, described the scholars. And there should not be any time or any place which the Muslims and the people of Sunnah especially do not strive to be with those ulama and strive to benefit with the ulama and benefit from them. For indeed, the first firqa, the first sect, the deviated sect that split away from the correct understanding of the Sahaba, indeed it was the Khawarij. Indeed it was the Khawarij. And when Abdullah ibn Abbas, rahimahullah, he went to advise them and went to call them back, what was the first thing that he mentioned to them? When he went to them, he said, radiallahu anhu, that he said, I have come from amongst the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and I do not see a single one of them amongst you. He said, I came from amongst the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and I do not see a single one of them amongst you. So this shows that from the beginning, the very beginning, as our Shaykh Muhammad ibn Hadi said, that from the reasons of the Khawarij being named by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as dogs of the hellfire is because they abandoned the correct understanding of the Sahaba while they were there. Meaning the Sahaba were alive and widespread. And if the people wanted to benefit from the correct understandings of the Quran and Sunnah, then they could have sought it from the people of knowledge. They could have sought it from the Sahaba, who were the people of knowledge of that time after the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had passed away. So just as the Sahaba, just as they did not have any ulama, they did not have any true inheritors of the prophets with them, likewise we find the Khawarij and other than them from Ahl Bidah, from the early days up until today, they do not differ in this point. So any of the innovated groups of the and parties from the Khawarij that have split away, whether it was the first Khawarij or the Azariqa, or if it's all the way up until the day, such as Boko Haram or ISIS or Taliban or Lashkar-e Taiba, or any of these innovated groups and parties, whether they are the likes of the Ikhwan al-Muslimin or any of those groups who have split off from them, or Jama'at Tabligh, or any other groups of the Sufia, then all of these, from their major characteristics, is that they do not have ulama. And when we say ulama, we are referring to ulama al-khayr, ulama al-haq. We're referring to scholars of truth and scholars of goodness. And we're not talking about scholars of evil and scholars of falsehood, because indeed, maybe you might find amongst them that they would have something from ma'lumat. They have something from information. Maybe they have memorized the Quran. Maybe they have memorized the many ahadith. Maybe they've memorized books of ahadith. But this alone does not give them the characteristic of being true ulama. As we have mentioned in this lesson and discussed in this lesson, what makes one ulama and from the ulama? Then it is if they are from the inheritors of the prophets. And how is one truly from the inheritors of the prophets? Then indeed it is only by being upon their way, being upon the way of the prophets, and being upon that clear dawah, that dawah of Furqan, differentiating truth from falsehood in the most clearest of ways. Differentiating truth and falsehood from the most clearest of ways. So throughout every time and every place, we must strive to be upon those who are upon clarity, those who are upon clarity in their dawah and their call. And in closing this lesson, we want to read from a beautiful passage from compiled by Sheikh Saleh Fawzan, Hafidhahullah. And he mentioned this in the beginning of one of his books. It's a book called Min A'lam al-Mujaddidin, from the A'lam, or from the signposts of the revivers, meaning from the clear apparent revivers in Islam. It is a book which he has written, Hafidhahullah, and this introduction that he has placed in here, he has taken it from one of the great books of Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, rahimahullah, which is Ar-Rad ala al-Jahmiya, the refutation of the Jahmiya. So Imam Ahmad mentioned this introduction in his book, and Sheikh Saleh Fawzan, he continues it for a paragraph or two, so we will briefly read through this, and we will end with that. So he said, and this is from the speech of Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, rahimahullah, after saying Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, he said, that which means, and in the interest of time, I will read it as an English translation rather than the Arabic. So he said, all praises for Allah, the one who has made in every time period a remainder from those people of knowledge after the messengers. that they call whoever has gone astray to guidance, and they are patient upon the harms from them, and they bring to life with the book of Allah Azza wa Jal those who have died, meaning those who have died in regarding their iman and in their insight. So they bring to life with the book of Allah Azza wa Jal those who are dead, and they give in clear insight with the light of Allah to the people who are blind. So how many, meaning how it is amazing how many of those whom Iblis has killed, that indeed they have brought back to life, and how many of those people who are who are astray and wandering, that they have guided, that the people of knowledge have guided. So how beautiful or how good is the effect of the people of knowledge upon the rest of the people? And how ugly is the effect of the people upon the people of knowledge? They protect and preserve from the book of Allah the distortion of the extremists, and the splitting of those who seek to cause corruption, and the misinterpretation of the ignorant. Those who seek to establish their bid'ah, their innovations, and they seek to spread fitna, they seek to spread trials and tribulations. So these people, those who spread trials and tribulations that the ulama strive against, then they differ about the Qur'an. And they are opposers to the Qur'an. And they are agreed about splitting away from the Qur'an. They speak regarding Allah and about Allah and about the book of Allah without knowledge. They speak about speech which is not completely clear. And they deceive the ignorant ones of the people with what they're able to confuse them with. So we seek refuge in Allah from the fitan of those who are astray. So we seek refuge in Allah from the fitan of those who are astray. And that is how Imam Ahmad, rahimahullah, he ended his muqaddimah, or his introduction to the book of Rad ala al-Jahmiya, refutation of the Jahmiya. So Shaykh Saleh Fawzan, hafidhahullah, he continues, so that which is known is that whenever the time proceeds and it gets later, meaning a later time period, and the people become farther away from that which the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam left behind, then the bid'ah or the innovations increase, and the distortions increase, and ignorance becomes widespread, and the religion becomes stranger, and the people believe, the people think that which they find their fathers upon from the religion, then that is the real religion, even if it is very far from the true religion. But Allah subhanahu, Allah the most glorified, He does not leave from the earth He does not leave from the earth who establishes the proofs of Allah. Meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will always leave upon the earth someone establishing the proofs of Allah. And indeed the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam informed that there will be a group from the Muslims that will not cease to be upon the truth. They won't stop being upon the truth. They will not be harmed by those who do not aid them, nor will they be harmed by those who oppose them until the affair of Allah comes. Just like the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam informed us in the hadith narrated by Abu Dawood and Al-Hakim, who declared it sahih, and other than him, in which he said that indeed Allah, He sends for this ummah upon every 100 years someone who will renew for the Ummah its religion. Allah sends at the end of every 100 years who will renew for its religion. So the scholar Manawi said in Fayd al-Qadir, meaning that Allah will make for it, meaning will make for the Ummah, a man or more who will renew the religion and will clarify the sunnah from bid'ah and will spread the knowledge and will aid the people of knowledge and will cut off the people of bid'ah and disgrace them. And this will not be except a person of knowledge that has the religion, that has knowledge of the religion, both that which is clearly apparent and that which is more minute, that which is more detailed. And the great Imam of Tafsir, Ibn Kathir Rahimahullah, he said that many of the people have claimed, many groups of people have claimed that their scholar or their Imam is that which is meant by this hadith. Many people and groups of people throughout the history have claimed that it is their imam, their scholar, who is meant by this hadith. And he says, what is apparent is that it is general for all of the people of knowledge from any group, meaning whether they are mufassir, whether a scholar of tafsir, or hadith, or fiqh, or nahu, or Arabic grammar, or language, and other than it. So, indeed, this is from the characteristics of the people of knowledge, that they renew the da'wah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam upon truth, and they clarify sunnah from bid'ah, and they spread their knowledge amongst the people, and they strive to cut off the people of bid'ah and disgrace them. So we hope to have achieved some clarity and brought some clarity regarding the role of the people of knowledge in Islam, and that we understand their characteristics. And if one is to be described from the people of knowledge, then what their characteristics should be and what they should exemplify from the characteristics of the prophets and messengers, and likewise how we deal with the people of knowledge that might make a mistake. So indeed, no one statement is accepted completely except the statement of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and whoever's statement might oppose what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came with, then indeed it is rejected. But how we deal with the situation, then indeed if someone is from the people of Sunnah and they have the correct foundations of Sunnah and they strove to achieve the truth in the correct ways, meaning striving to be upon the way of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then indeed we refute their mistake, no matter who they are, but we preserve their karama, we preserve their nobility, and we preserve the correct respect for them. Which, and this is of course in opposition or different to the people of innovations and desires, that their mistakes are based upon their evil understanding and their evil desires to not follow the correct means in attaining their proofs and establishing their arguments. So the people of innovations and desires, their statements are rejected regardless. So they are refuted for their mistakes, and we warn the people from them. They're rejected, their mistakes are rejected and refuted, and likewise we warn the people from the innovation, people of innovations and desires. And Sheikh Saleh Fozan, he continued by mentioning that as some examples of the Mujaddideen, yani he said, and that which bears witness to the truth of what the Prophet ﷺ informed us in this hadith, that there will not cease, and all praises due to Allah and virtue of Allah upon this Ummah, whoever will continue to renew the religion due to the increased need of that amongst the people, then from the examples of that is the great Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, in the third generation. And likewise, the great Sheikh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah at the end of the seventh generation and the beginning of the eighth generation. And finally, he mentioned Sheikh al-Islam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, rahimahullah, in the 12th generation. So we'll end there this sitting, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to preserve us upon his obedience and upon the sunnah, and to keep our intentions pure. And we will continue, inshallah, the next lesson with the topic of the author of this book, which we will be going through, because many people hear the name Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, but many people, if not the majority of the people, especially our English-speaking Salafi brothers and sisters, they do not know who is this great Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab. So the topic of the next lesson, inshallah, will be who is or who was Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, the great Imam reviver. هذا وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين.